morning. And I want to wish all the mothers happy Mother's Day. Your children and your husbands certainly appreciate it. You've probably already taken a peek at the handout and noticed that it's about gambling. The idea came to me a while back when I received this brochure in the mail about loading up an app on your phone so you can gamble. And tell me I'm a VIP person here, and then I can get a lot of exclusive benefits and enhanced promotions and all kinds of things. So it was mailed to me. It says current resident, my address, so it's nothing I asked for or anything like that. But, so I thought that in my Christian life, I cannot ever remember hearing an entire sermon on gambling, although gambling has, of course, been mentioned in sermons and as something that Christians, of course, should abstain from. First, before I start, though, I do not believe that gambling is a problem for anyone here in our congregation. But then I really don't know, only God knows that, that it could be a problem for somebody among us or even someone we know. The main purpose of my lesson is to help us better defend our Christian stance against all forms of gambling. My lesson is titled, Don't Bet on It, Trust God Over Chance. So what exactly is gambling? Gambling is defined as wagering money or something of value on an uncertain event where the winner gains at the expense of the loser. Gambling has become socially acceptable in today's modern world, where we have bombarded with gambling ads, media, the billboards, on our smartphones, and even in the mail. These ads are designed to tempt us to join in and have fun and win big money and prizes. You've probably seen old Western movies with people standing at a roulette table, eyes fixed on the spinning wheel, hearts are pacing, palms are sweating, and in that moment, the hope rests entirely on where that ball will land. Or maybe you've seen a casino commercial with people feeding coins into slot machines, hoping for a big win. And of course, there are also card games with big payouts. Can't make it to a casino? No problem. Just put an app on your phone, smartphone, and set up an account. Deposit money into your account, and you'll even get 100% bonus match for free. Wow, what a deal, right? Of course, there's also the lottery. Stop by any gas station, convenience store, buy your tickets. It's easy and simple. If you don't have the numbers picked out, the terminal will pick them off for you. Satan must be smiling at all that he's pulled into gambling. For many, gambling is just fun or entertainment. But for others, it becomes a trap, draining finances, damaging relationships, and eroding God's trust. The Bible may not use the word gambling directly, but it speaks clearly about the principles that guide our decisions. Stewardship, contentment, love for others, and faith in God's provisions. Point number one on your handout. Gambling undermines godly stewardship. Scripture teaches us that we have and that all we have and possess is a blessing from God who provides us with all that we need. Verse 8 of our scripture reading tells us to be content with what God provides for us. Everything we have is God's, not ours. We must manage what God has given us faithfully as good stewards. Gambling violates the principle set forth in the Bible concerning proper stewardship. We need to properly manage the things that we have and not waste them and throwing them away. We need to remember that all we have is due to the goodness of God. I won't go into this in depth, but I just want to quickly mention the three parables concerning stewardship, which are in your handout for you to review later. These parables, of course, could be a whole other lesson by themselves. The parable of the talents in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. The parable of the pounds in Luke 19, 12 through 27. And the parable of the unjust steward, Luke 16, verses 1 through 13. These passages reveal that earning a gain is not wrong as long as it is done within the guidelines of the scriptures. These parables, the passages in these parables, teach us to be honest, hard workers who handle our finances and possessions in a proper, responsible manner. Gambling is hoping for a big win, to get rich quick. Gambling is really, in reality, is to pour one's money into a system that is mathematically and statistically has been proven to benefit the house and take it from the gambler. Casinos, gambling apps are big business. Like any other business, to continue to operate, they must make a profit. And they make a profit through the losses of others. Gambling in our country has not always been legal. Nevada legalized gambling in 1931. And then the state lotteries began in 1963. And even more recently, sports betting was legalized in 2018. A key point is that just because something is legal does not make it right in God's sight. Prior to legalization, gambling was considered sinful and morally wrong. Then it was largely controlled by mob bookies. Gambling was legalized so that the government could collect taxes on the profits from gambling. Even today, in the investment world, there's a class of stocks. Stocks are companies you can buy. Equities are also referred to. But they are referred to as sin stocks, which include casino and sports betting companies, along with alcohol and tobacco and any other companies that have vices that cause vices for people. Christians should not invest, of course, in these companies. Remember the lesson title. Don't bet on it. Trust God over chance. Point number two on your handouts. The heart behind the bet. In our society today, many people have it in their heart that they don't want to work to achieve prosperity. They want everything for free. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 10 tells us, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. The sluggard's heart, the lazy person's heart, tells him to gamble to win it big. So he won't have to work that way, of course. Then there's the person who feels in his heart that gambling is just recreational entertainment. Have a little extra money to go and have some fun. Somebody might say, I set aside $50 for gambling, and when it's gone, I'll stop. The danger is that he will not be able to stop. This reminds me of Proverbs 6, verse 27. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not burn? Gambling is like the lust of a harlot. It is all-consuming and destructive. An interesting fact about gambling is that it's addictive on both the winning and the losing ends. The winner wants to win more, and the loser wants to recoup his losses. Then somebody might say, you spent $50 on golfing for recreation. I spent my $50 on gambling. Now, if someone sees you golfing, your influence for Christ has not been hindered. But if somebody sees you coming out of a casino, what does that do to your Christian influence? We need to have a heart of righteous influence. Now, let's consider the heart of greed and covetous. I want to read again a part of our scripture reading, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Other verses will say destruction and ruin. Verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith and with greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Gambling shows a desire of wanting money and wanting to win big. And when he wins, he becomes greedy, and he bets again to win even more. A gambler desires to win and covet money. Gambling easily becomes an addiction. The gambler thinks that if he could just win the jackpot, all of his problems would be solved. He'd have all the money he needs. In reality, the problems just begin, and there are many sorrows, as our scripture just told us. Point number three on your handouts, on the back page of your handout. Gambling harms others. Gambling addiction is such a big problem that gambling commercials are required to offer addiction help. In fine print, are spoken quickly at the end of the commercial, is the verbiage something like, have a game plan. Bet responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. The truth is that even if a gambler feels he is in control, his example can lead others to destructive habits. Gambling addiction destroys families, fuels debt, and can even lead to crime. I have a true story of a Christian winning the Illinois lottery back around 1978 or so. When I attended, when my family attended the 16th Street Church of Christ in Pekin, Illinois. Now this guy, he attended services faithfully. One day, this preacher, with one of those big poster checks for $100,000, appeared in the Piccadilly Times newspaper. He was grinning ear to ear. Today, adjusted for inflation, the value would be about $520,000, just over $500,000. Of course, that's very small to what the big mega jackpots are today. It shook the church. The elders talked to him. He did repent for gambling. But about reproach on the church. I was asked, hey, did that guy who won the lottery, was he from your church? How embarrassing. His new wealth brought about problems as it does with many lottery winners. Thankfully, he continued working in his job. He liked his job. But in a couple of years, he was in debt, and his wife divorced him. Imagine the potential negative influence of a Christian who participates in gambling. Many people who are not even associated with the church view gambling as a vice that respectable people should not do, especially not a Christian. Gambling hurts individuals, families, and communities. The effect of gambling on individuals are addiction, financial ruin, emotional strain, and loss of trust from your family. The effect of gambling on families are debt, marital tension, emotional neglect, and burdened children. The effects of gambling on communities are increased vices, crime, and social decay. It's sad that the gambler does not realize how much he not only hurts himself, but also his family and community. Point number four. Gambling distracts from trust in God. Gambling is a misplaced trust in chance and luck. Matthew 6, verse 33 tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Gambling places trust in luck. But faith calls us to rely on God's faithful provision. God provides all the blessings we need. I think of God providing the Israelites while wandering in the wilderness, who often complained with all they needed to survive. God provided manna, for them to eat, Exodus 16, verse 14. And quail, in Numbers 11, 31, to eat. And water, to drink, from Exodus 17, verse 6, we see that. God also provided guidance by a cloud of fire in Exodus 13, 21, and 22. And protected them from their enemies in Exodus 17, 8-13. They trusted in God for all their needs, not a chance of war. In conclusion, gambling is not just a harmless pastime. It's a spiritual issue that touches our stewardship, our hearts, our witness, and our trust in God. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 tells us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Quick review. A Christian should abstain from gambling by recognizing the spiritual or ethical dangers associated with gambling. A Christian should trust in God's provision, providing all we need, and to be content with what God has blessed us with. A Christian should pursue honest labor by engaging in work faithfully and wisely manage the resources God has given us stewardship over. A Christian should help the ensnared with guidance, accountability, spiritual support to those who struggle with gambling. Gambling is all alone because of the promise of quick wealth and excitement. But it violates God's principle for love, stewardship, honesty, work, and dependency on God. So I challenge you. If you've been tempted by gambling, surrender that desire to God. If you've been hurt by gambling, seek healing and accountability. If you know someone caught up in gambling, pray for them and lovingly point them towards Christ. I hope this lesson has been interesting and beneficial to you and giving you a better understanding in how to defend our Christian stance against all forms of gambling. Before I close, I want to offer an invitation to you to come forward. If you're not yet a Christian and you have heard and understand that you need to be baptized for the remission of sins, as Peter tells us in Acts 2:38, then now is that time. Or if you have a public confession that you would like to make, come forward now as we stand and sing the song of the virgin.